This is Revelation chapter 17. I enjoyed the Bible study last night. It was good. Both the natural food and the spiritual food. I like the beans too, Brother Daniel. And I'm one of those people who can eat them and they don't bother me.
Yeah.
So they do nothing but good for me. So I really appreciate those. And Sister Vicki knows how to make them. If we do have such a thing over there, this little group's going to have a good time. So, amen. So, all right. Revelation chapter 17. I'm going to title this today, Hear What the Angel Says. I had a little subtitle there, Reading Ourselves of the Babylonian Influence. 17:1, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, talk with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-coated beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored, and decked with gold, precious stones, and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which had seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is, and not, and yet is. And then I want to go to Revelation 18, chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit in the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, how thankful we are to be Christians. Lord, to be able to know you and to be associated with you and to be able to come into a place, Lord, where those of like precious faith and, Lord, just be able to hear your word, be able to experience your presence and be able to worship you, Lord. What a wonderful life it is. We thank you for it, Lord. And we just want to take this service now. We just give it to you. Ask God that you would speak your words into the hearts of your children. Lord, and as we go from this place today, that each one of us would have a greater revelation in our hearts of your presence and of your truth and of your word and your delivering power for us here in this day. We love you, Lord. We just commit this time now to your hands. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. God is good. Hear what the angel saith or says. Amen. You know, we have, we've heard for many years, you know, that the bride unto her is the final horse for the final age and her messenger. And so, you know, to amplify that even more to a greater degree is the minister of the gospel in this time any time, especially this time. A minister of the gospel has the responsibility to repeat to you what the Word of God says, and to repeat to you especially what he's doing and definitely has done in this hour. And so that is my responsibility. That's Brother Daniel's responsibility, is to tell you we have to consider ourselves as nothing more than a microphone. And if we ever get to the place where we think we're something more than that, then we're on the wrong road. But we realize that we're just mere men, and it's not us, but it's the Father that dwelleth in us. Right? Jesus said that. He was our example. And so we know that. And so if I can stand there on that day, I'm not anything special, and none of us are, but definitely I'm not. But if I can stand there on that day and know that I've been a good microphone, a good repeater of the one that would speak through me, then I'll be happy. Amen. And so that's what I definitely want to do. I don't want to shun to declare to you the whole counsel of God as he would give it to me, and not to hold back. And so that's what I plan to do. And so I'm, as you all know, I believe there's an end time message. God spoke through prophecy to me before I even knew it was, and told me in 1992 he would reveal the end time message to me. And that's exactly what he did, as he began to show that. And so I just want to be a good repeater and a good microphone, I guess, that he could speak through and take these things. And I want to be able to repeat to you and relay to you what the angel has said. What I hear him saying, I want to tell you. And so that's what I'm going to do. Amen. And so I know there's a lot of people in the world, a lot of people that have disagreed with what God has done, the things that we believe, but I believe it, and I'm not changing. If God will help me, I'm not going to change to something different. I'm going to stay right with what the prophet has said, and the best that I can, and the best I can express it. And so I certainly want to do that every time I stand here. So in this chapters 17 and 18 of Revelation, the Bible shows us what the Bible calls what the word that the Bible uses is the great whore that setteth upon many waters. Waters is peoples. The Bible said she is a whore, and the Bible said that the kings of the earth, the governments of the earth. Put it that way. Kings are the rulers of different nations. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And so, of course, you know, if a man is committing fornication, it's with somebody that he's not married to. The kings of the earth had committed fornication with her, and says the inhabitants, the people of the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, of the people of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And so we understand that wine has an effect that comes with it. Wine has an effect on people, right? When you drink it, it has an effect on people, and so it causes, excuse me, it causes people. Now, you know, I all I can do is express to you from the life that God, that I have experienced, both bad and good, and I can tell you, in my days gone by, what going out to parties and things, and where there was drinking and those kind of things where people would get drunk, I can tell you, I know what happens. And so what happens when people get drunk is they lose their inhibitions.
Right.
That's right. They lose their inhibitions, and so the inhibitions there, they get to the place where they start acting without normal restraints. Right? So things they wouldn't do or would be reserved to do, when you get under the I'm going to call it the anointing of wine, then that's what happens. And so the scripture said here that the peoples of the world were drunk. So the peoples of the world were now not being what they would have been if they hadn't been anointed with that drinking from that cup. You understand the concept there. And so they become, when people become drunk, as you know, then they become loose, they become poor judges. The scriptures warn about the kings who would, you know, drink, be drunk, well, because they're their ruler, their rules of things, their judgments would become perverted. And so we understand that. And then, and so it leads to an unclean life, unclean living.
Right.
Right? Now, keep in mind, God's got Holy Spirit in mind. And the Holy Spirit will do the same thing, and it will get you out of what your reservations and get you to act out what the Holy Spirit would want you to do, right?
Right.
But it leads to clean living, not unclean living.
Right. Right.
So we see here that the peoples of the earth are drunk. They have been under the influence. They have been drinking out of this cup that's in our hand.
Right.
Amen? And so she had this cup in her hand to get the people to drink from. And you have to realize, you know, from a biblical standpoint, even in a natural standpoint, that a cup, when you drink out of a cup has either a blessing in it or it has a curse in it. When you drink out of a cup, you can drink water or milk or something like that, and there's a blessing from it when there's life in it. But if there's poison in it, then there is a result of that. So when you drink from a cup, you either get a blessing or you get a curse. And we know that the Lord has a cup, the cup of his blessing, right? And so to drink from the Lord's cup, then you get the blessings of what you're drinking.
Right.
But well, here it is that you know that if God has this cup of blessing and a cup for us to drink from, so Satan has a cup to drink from. And we see it here in the scriptures there. She has this cup in her hand, and the peoples of the world have been drinking out of that cup.
Right.
And they're drunk because of it. And so they've lost their inhibitions, they're acting, and they're living out ungodly lives as a result of drinking from that cup. Mm-hmm. If you drink out of a cup that's got poison, you're going to live an example of what that poison does to you. If it's medicine in a cup, when you drink out of that, you'll live out something of what that medicine does for you.
Right.
So when you drink from a cup, you got to be careful what cup you're drinking from. Right? So I don't go around drinking out of other people's. That's just me, you know. You can if you want. I don't mind. But my wife's shaking her head. Yeah, you won't drink after other people. It's just me, you know. I don't know. I don't even drink after her, hardly. Which is weird, right? Yeah, I am weird. But you have to realize that when you drink out of this cup, drinking from a cup is a form of communion.
Right.
Because the prophet tells us that when the Lord gave, when he gives to you communion, he's given of himself. Right? To commune is to communicate, to share, to interact. And so when a people are in communion with each other, then when one is suffering and sick like we've had some things lately, then we all suffer. If you're really part of a group and really love one another, you hurt for them too. But also when they rejoice, you rejoice with them too.
Right?
Right. So when you drink out of this cup, it is a communion there. And so as the prophet said, when he gives to you communion, he gives of himself. And so when there's this cup and you come and you drink, you come and you drink to be one. And so when you come and you drink, you come to receive of the reward that's in the cup.
Right?
Right? This woman in the book of Revelation has this cup, and the whole world has drank from this cup. So the whole world is now receiving or going to receive the judgments and the cup that she had there that they had been drinking from. The kings of the earth had done it. And the peoples of the earth had done it. And so the scripture said there that she had a name written, Mystery. Well, you know what a mystery is. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. So you see that she herself was drunk. We read there. She herself was drunk, and she was drunk on the blood of the martyrs, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus and of the saints. So not just New Testament, Old Testament too.
Right.
All right. And so you remember how God, the iniquities, he passed them on to the further generations. Of course, in Christianity, we know that under the blood of Jesus, then those things from past can be struck off. But if you're not under the blood of Jesus Christ, the sins of those before you can pass to you, right?
Right.
You understand? And so it is in spiritual matters and in generations and in church systems, the sins of previous religious system will pass on to those who are offspring of those systems. So that here that the scripture can say that she's guilty, not just of the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, but the blood of all the saints, because you realize that as Satan would move through all peoples to try and destroy all of God's people, whether it was Old Testament or New Testament, she's guilty of all of it.
Right?
Because he's visiting, he's letting it pass right on down all the way. So it comes to this end time, a culmination of all that just piles up right here, and she has to face with the consequences of it. And anybody drinking out of that cup she's got has to face it too.
Right?
Everyone. So she's drunk with the blood of the martyrs. She's drunk with the power that a person can get drunk on power.
Right?
She's drunk with the power, the control that she has obtained over the saints of the earth and over Christianity and over all those that she would martyr. She's drunk with that power. She's just eat up with it. Just staggering around, just martyring left and right and killing and destroying and all that. She's just totally inebriated by this position of power that she has. And you know, we talk about it quite a bit. You've heard it for a long time that, you know, that you have power without the character, right? It's demonic, right? Satanic. And so here she is. She's obtained all this power, but she doesn't have the character of it.
Right?
And because and what she's doing with that power is what shows whether or not she's got character. Because true power over a people, a pastor or whatever it might be, true power over the people is service to those people.
Right.
Not using them and making them out to be something to elevate yourself to some high degree or something like that. But Jesus teaches us, if you will be great among you, will be servant. So she lacks this quality. She's received power, but doesn't have the character. And so she's not a servant of the people. She's a ruler over the people and abusing the power that she has, martyring people. Amen? And yet she's a church. And so we get to this place here in the scriptures there where it said John wondered at her with great admiration. And so, you know, John types the bride. We know that. John types us. That the people through all the ages, when you behold the system, it's like you just marvel at it. You're like, well, how can this be? Because, you know, if you know the typology of the Bible and you look at this, you know, woman represents a church, so you're looking at a church, and she's rich and she's glorious, got all this, and yet she's drunk with the blood of the saints. So it'd be bewildering. We were like, I'm not sure I understand this. I don't know what I'm looking at here. How can this be? It's a great church, supposed to be Christ's bride, but yet they're, I don't know. I'm confused. That's us. That's what we've been, right? Confused when you see that. And so I would say that John marveled there with great admiration there. And so what would it take to get John to stop marveling at that and to understand what he's looking at? And so the answer to that is to hear what the angel said. Because the angel said, I will show thee the mystery, John. Let me make it clear to all the church world. I will make it clear to the church world what this false system is, so you'll understand it. You won't marvel at it anymore. You'll understand that's the devil in a church system. So the answer to how to get John to quit marveling at that is for them to hear what the angel has said. So what has the angel said? I always thought it was really interesting. It said one of the angels that had the seven vials came and talked to me. I personally believe it was the seventh one of those. Right? That's what I believe, which shows you that those seven messengers are also involved in the plague before now. The vials. They're part of that too. And so one of those that had the response pouring out judgment upon the earth came and said, let me, you know, because these are vile judgments. So one of those judgments there, he said, hey, here's this angel come, and he's got this responsibility to pour out a vial, and he says, well, by the way, you're Abraham's offspring, and I got to tell you what I'm about to do before I do it, because I had to do that with Abraham, and so I'm going to come and I'm going to show you what I'm about to do. I'm about to pour out judgment upon this whore. And so this angel will come to the bride and explain to the bride what's about to happen. Explain to the bride who this church system is that he's about to pour judgment upon. Right? So what has the angel said to us? That's what I'll give to you. What has he said? And whatever it is that he said, we should probably listen to it. Because it doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't even matter what we think. What matters is that God said that he would send an angel, and that angel would clear up the questions just before he poured out judgment upon it. He would make it clear what was going on or what was about to happen to the bride. So I would say, hey, the bride needs to hear what the angel says, because as we see right there in Revelation chapter 18, that he said, come out of her, my people. Right? Because we don't want to be part of that cup. We don't want to be drinking out of that cup. Because if we're drinking from that cup, we're going to receive of the condemnation that comes from drinking from that cup. Right? So he sent the angel so that we can understand what that is and understand what that cup is and how to distance ourselves from that cup and from her and from the judgment. God has no desire to pour out his wrath upon his people. Right? We talked about that last night. God, by his word, has to get his people to the place where his judgment won't strike them. He can't go across his own word. So if we've got things in us or things we're doing that's really still, we're drinking part of that cup and we don't even think we are, but we still are, then there's judgment that has to come to us because we're still drinking from the wrong cup. Right. We might call ourselves Christians. We might call ourselves message believers. We might come and rejoice about all things. But if we're still somewhere in our life drinking out of that cup, there's a consequence to that.
Right.
So God has sent this angel to clear it up so we know what that system is and what the cup is and how to come out of that so we're not partakers of it.
Right.
That's exactly what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Amen. And so we need to remember, hey, what did he say? And we need to remember that the judgment, I will show thee the judgment that's coming upon this. That's what the angel said. I'm going to show you this judgment. Amen. The Bible here ties this woman in Revelation 17 to Babylon. And so we know what natural Babylon is. And ties it to Babylon. We've talked about this before. Brother Bram talked about it. I'll read a quote here out of the Pergamene Church Age. Coming out of Eden, in the Garden of Eden, one God. And coming out of there, and then Babylon. The effects of Babylon kicks in. So here's, I've read on this stuff and looked into these things, and so the Pergamene Church Age, the ancient histories agree with the Bible that the Babylonish religion was most certainly not the original religion in Earth's early peoples. It was the first to drift away from the original faith. So they come out of the Garden of Eden believing in one God, had the original faith to believe and worship one God. But Babylon was the first religion to take that and drift from that into something else. So it was the first to drift away from the original faith, but it was not itself the original one. Historians such as Wilkinson and Mallett have proven conclusively that from ancient documents that at one time all peoples on the earth believed in one God supreme, eternal, invisible, who by the word of his mouth spoke all things into existence, and that in his character he was loving, good, and just. Amen? We believe that. But Satan will always corrupt whatever he can, and we find him corrupting the minds and hearts of men so that they reject truth, as he has always attempted to receive worship as though he were God and not a servant. You realize Satan is a creation, right? He's not the creator. He's part of the creation. Yeah. And so he always wanted to be worshipped. And so position himself as if he were God and not a servant and creation of God. He drew worship away from God to the end that he might draw it unto himself and so be exalted. And he certainly accomplished his desire to spread his religion through the whole world. This is authenticated by the book of Romans. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God until they became vain in their imaginations and through the darkness of their hearts accepted a corrupted religion to the extent that they worship creatures and not the Creator. Amen? So coming out of the Garden of Eden, you know, all Satan can do is corrupt, right? So as he comes out, they had the original faith, one God, supreme creator, those, and so coming from that, then Satan can't do anything but change that. And so the first thing you know, right off the bat there in Genesis, we come up with the Babylon, which is, you know, many begin to worship many gods and so forth. And so Satan always corrupts what he can. And so he drew worship away from the creator. If there's only one creator, there is, right? And then everything else is creation. Right? So if you pull worship away from the creator, there's only one place you can go with it.
Right.
Worship the creation.
Right?
Right? And that's what Satan did. So he pulled people away from worshiping God to worshiping something less.
Right.
Part of God's creation. Romans, we'll go there. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we'll read here in a moment. And so he pulls people away from worship of the Creator to the creation, in essence, to worship the church herself, or to worship man-made doctrines or science, anything that's beneath God, that's part of the creation of God, then to get them to worship any couple, you can worship angels, wrong, because they're not God, they're part of the creation of God. And so you see that's what, and there's people that do that, right? The Bible talks about that.
Right.
So to get people to worship. And what they do there is worship even the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Anything off of that tree, worshiping and making that your God. And so Romans chapter 1 shows this. And Brother Brennan, we read just a little bit there, verse 16 through 25. And for Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God," and we're talking about what's happening to this woman in Revelation, and he's going to reveal to the bride what's about to happen. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who do what? They hold the truth in unrighteousness." Right? They take the truth of God's word, is a one God and all that, and embed it down into an unrighteous system, holding it from the people. Mm-hmm. Right? "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Even people who've never heard of Jesus Christ, just from nature, just like we talked last night, just from nature, can be judged because they can see God in it.
Right?
because that, when they knew God, they knew him back in the original faith. They knew God. Right? But then they moved from that and they began to glorify him into something less than God. Here's what he's saying. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. See, they begin to worship the creation rather than the Creator. Wherefore, because of this, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's what they did. That's what happened in Genesis. And so this is why I say quite often, if you leave the Word, you don't know where you're going to wind up.
Right.
Right? The word of keeping power is there in the Word. And so you leave the Word of God. And that's what they did. They left truth. And the only place to go from leaving truth is to go to a lie. And to drink from the cup that's with a lie. From a lie. There's no other thing that can happen. And so they left the Word. And when they left the Word, they became Babylon. Not one God. Right? Worship all kinds of things other than God himself. And also, as we saw there in Romans, look at all the things where they went. God turned them over. We didn't read it. You could read the rest of Romans. And he turned them over to their own devices. And what do they do? When God took his hand off of them, because they rejected him and he took his hand away from them, I'll say it that way, and then to let them do what? Ever they, their foolish heart come up with. And look at all the things they did. Worshiping all kinds of things, men with men, women with women, all kinds of filth. Okay? That's what happens when you leave the Word. You want to know why America is turning into Sodom? It's because they left the Word. Right? That's exactly. I always, in my mind, I picture, you take someone who knows better, and they're in church or whatever, and when they leave that and walk away from that, in my mind, I picture Satan's like, okay, we're going to really jump on them. And we're going to make their life such a declaration to point back to try and show that the truth that they once sit in don't work and it's a lie. We're really going to take their life and really mess it up. Because we see that. It's what it looks like. It's just worse. Right? And so, you know, the scripture said, you know, for a person to know truth and to depart from it is worse than if they hadn't have known it in the first place. So you see this. You see this happening in even in our day. We see people leaving God's Word. But you see it happen there in the Garden of Eden. And you see this church system, this woman here in Revelation, is a result of that very thing, leaving the Word of God. And so now Satan just does such a work in them that they become the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Every spirit. Anything that Satan is, he can shove it all. Why? Because there's no resistance in that system. There's no Holy Spirit resistance. There's no Word of God resistance to keep filth out. And so Satan can just fill it up with whatever he wants. And that's what he's done. That's why the Bible says she's the mother of every abomination. Right? Of the earth. He just shoves it right because there's nothing in there to resist it. And yet it's a woman, a church, rich and glorious, ruling over the earth so much that the true believers could look at it and not understand, marvel at it. But God's got an answer to that.
Right.
Amen. And so, the effect of Babylon is that they begin to worship many gods and worship creation and have affections and stuff contrary to nature, Anything that their foolish heart could imagine, they just do it. Right? You remember back there in Babylon what they started trying to do? Build a thing to heaven, and it said, hey, whatever they've met, they're doing it. Right? They're doing it. That's a characteristic of Babylon.
Right.
Whatever you want, just whatever, we'll just do it. Right? They think it's right because they've made a religion out of it. So, and so their food, whatever their foolish heart can come up with, that's whatever they can imagine, they just do it. And I looked at this like, okay, what are religions? We read here in the Bible, what are these religions that come from Babylon? And so you find all these that come from that, Nimrod and all that, and how it went out into the earth, and the influence of all that went out into all the earth. And you got all these different religions, and read about all the time in the Bible, the Moabites and the Amorites and all these ites, parasites, as far as I'm concerned. But you read about all that, and they're all offspring of that, and virtually every one of them had temple prostitutes in their worship. You read about it in the Bible. Okay? And so that's what that is. That's what that system is. And so what did they do there? They adjusted into their religion the act that happened and caused the fall in the first place. Can you imagine that? Creating a religious system where this is what you do. You commit the act that was in of the fall. But it's the God of fertility, and we do this because, you know, to receive favor from God. And all that really is where they have made feeding the flesh legal. Right? By making it part of a religion. That in their religion, everything's legal. Whatever we can take care of, just, you know. And so, so many places we could go with that, but it's not legal in God's economy. It's His Word. So see, in a religion, when you have a religious system, and God looks at that system, what He views that as, He looks at it, He sees it as a woman. And He looks at that, and the way the woman's dressed, and the way she acts, that's the way He sees that religious system. And in that system, the individual people are acting out the same things that God views the whole entire religion as. So when He looks at the whole thing and they live ungodly and filthy and unclean and all that, the people in there, because there's no holding power, the people in that system do the same things. Everybody understand? So the visible union of the bride of Christ. The prophet talks about this. He says, now notice this character. When you see women just go on the rampage, remember natural type, spiritual? When you see, I'll say natural, when you see women, natural women, when you see women go on the rampage, just doing anything they want to, watch, the church is doing the same thing. He clarifies here in just a moment, the church that they belong to. They're doing the same thing. See? But watch when the spiritual bride, when she begins to have a revival, when she begins to come back, align herself up with the Word, watch again. You see how the Scripture said at that time there'd be a message sweep out to catch the bride and catch that woman. And for the world, Satan, the deceiver who deceived the first bride into sinning against God by misbelieving His Word. And now as we see the church natural, we see the church natural, in your intellectual gospel, going further and further away from the Word. Remember, going away from the Word. Going away from the Word in a social gospel, we find that women of the world on the streets, members of such, are carrying themselves in the same atmosphere. Brother Ram's showing you that people in the church are carrying themselves in the same atmosphere of that church system. So if God sees them as harlots, a whole system, and they act that way in the natural because they don't have anything to keep them from it. Okay? It doesn't mean that all of the women out there in those false systems, that they're going out committing adultery, but they dress their clothes in such a way that they do. Right? Because it's God's words. It's His economy. It's what He's looking at. See? So they do. You might say, well, I know people that's in such and such religious system, and they don't do that. But according to God's word, because of the whole, you got to be caught up into the revelation of the whole thing, looking through God's eyes to understand that it's all filth to Him. And He has sent an angel to explain why that is that way. Carrying themselves in the same atmosphere, you can't tell them. They've lost all sense of common decency that people have. See, and that's why the church has. And you could see it going straight to the ecumenical council, just as certain as anything in the world, right into Rome as hard as it can go, because it's prophesied, and there she is. That's her behavior. So they can't help it. That's the behavior of the natural women, because they're part of that church. It's got the same nature. In spiritually, as God sees it. Amen. So the prophet was telling us there that connection. See why God showed that prophet a vision of the churches merging and they were ungodly dressed? Because the lifestyle of the people in those religions, underneath those religions, that's the way they live. Spiritually, even a lot of it naturally. Married 3, 4, 5 times. Okay, right? See what I'm saying? God's word knows what He's talking about. He knows. And so that's why the prophet, God showed that to him. You can't serve God. You know, Jesus said you can't serve God and man. So you can't serve God by disobeying His word. You think about that, you husbands. Would your wife be serving you if she was constantly and always doing something different than you, that you had instructions in the way that, you see what I'm saying? She's not serving you if she's doing contrary to your will and the way you want house to be, the way that you want things to be. So you can't serve God by disobeying His word, and neither can you serve God by rendering to someone else the attention that belongs to Him. So you brothers, how would you feel if you, every time you come home, you know, and you know, as much as I love Brother Daniel and Brother Tim, if I come home and my wife was going to fix, we'll say a pot of beans or something. We all like the same kind, but let's just say, for instance, if Brother Tim and Brother Daniel like beans a different way than I do, and I come home and my wife's like, I fix beans, and every time she fixed them the way Tim or Daniel likes it, but not the way I like it. You know, after a while, I'd start going, there's a problem here. Right? Because she should be serving, she should be honoring and trying, you know, what people, what husband and wife would be trying to do things contrary to their spouse. Right? Why would Christ be doing something that would be destructive for His bride? Right? There's another one for you, Brother Tim, for your question. Why would He do something contrary, something that would hurt it? We'd have to suffer because, no. And why would she do it? Why would she conduct things in such a way that she knows is going to make Him mad all the time? Right? We wouldn't put up with it. And yet we think God will. You can't serve God by trying to serve man-made traditions and things from that woman's system we're reading about. You can't do it. And so, if I came home all the time and I come home and I found that my wife was over at my neighbor's house, hanging out over there, washing his clothes, cooking food for him instead of me. I'm like, what's going on here? And that's exactly what this is. I'm your wife, I'm Christian, then why are you doing that? Why are you doing things contrary to the way that I would want? Why are you constantly doing stuff to make me upset? Why are you visiting a neighbor, going over there and washing his clothes instead of mine's piling up? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
We wouldn't put up with that. But yeah, we expect God to. And God doesn't. That's the deception. The deception is it's okay for her to go over and wash the clothes for the neighbors, that man, and let God's, you know, pile up. Go fix dinner for him and let him starve. Got it?
Right.
And that's the deception. It's not okay. And that's exactly what people are doing. And they're going to find out. And me sitting in message churches and find out they've been fixing dinner for the devil instead of for Christ, because they're drinking from that cup that comes from that other system. Listen, this came to me back there while song service. It just hit me. I never thought about this, but you follow something back to where it come from. You, whatever it is that you're observing, follow that, follow it back, and if it doesn't come from the Word of God, it is corrupt. Find the source, and if the source where it come from was a perversion of God's Word, there's no question about it, it is perverted. Because every seed brings forth of its own kind. And you take a seed, and the only thing you can do is let it be what it is, or you can mix it with something else. Either way, it's bad. So if it's something that's a corruption or a perversion of God's Word, I don't care how many generations it goes, it's corrupt, and you mix it with something else, it's corrupt there too. The only way is for it to be the original Word. The original. And that's the deception. People don't realize they are still influenced by Babylon, and yet in the name of God. She is a church in the name of God, considering herself the queen of heaven, and yet not doing what God said, living contrary to Him. You may not realize it, but if you're drinking from portions of that other cup, you are pulling away from God into something less. It's exactly what's happening. Pulling away from God. And so it's a mystery. See, that's why. That's why that God would have to do this great momentous event here at the end time to come, send an angel so we can understand what these things are. And so this woman in Revelation 17 is doing the same thing that Babylon did. But it was a mystery. And the reason why it was a mystery was because it was a church. How can this church that's supposed to glory, beautiful, that's supposed to be the bride of, how can they be doing these things? It doesn't make sense. And so God said, well, I got an angel here and he's going to explain this to you. He's going to make you understand why this system is wrong. He's going to make you understand why God says that's a whore and got harlot daughters. He's going to make you understand how it is that the whole world, says scriptures, under the influence of that. Going to make it clear. Man. It's a mystery. And that's why I needed an angel. He said, I don't need no angel. Oh, so you know more about it than God does? I'm not speaking to you personally, but to everybody, generally. You understand? This goes out there too. You don't need an angel? God said you did. God said that John, in order for him to understand what this is, an angel would have to declare that to him. Right. Man. And so she's guilty of taking worship from God and giving it to Satan in the name of God. In the name of religion. Now, I told you, I'm going to tell you, I want to be a good repeater. Right? And so I know the things. There's a lot of things that's hard to take, but this is the truth. And may the Lord help us to fully understand these things and cope with these things. And so this system is in the name of religion, the name of God. Jesus said the time will come that they'll put you to death and think they're doing God's service. They're going to kill believers and say, hey, this is God. This is God. We're doing this because He said so. And history shows you that Saint Augustine of Hippo, Africa, said he got the revelation or whatever to martyr those that wouldn't, right? Thought he was doing God's service. And this they do, Jesus said, because they don't know me, they don't know my Father. This they do because they don't know the Word. Not in letter form, because they can out-letter form you all to left and right. But they don't know Him. That's why they do it. An apostate system. So we know that in her is three powers, and that is political power, religious power, and demonic power in that system. Political power, spiritual power, demonic power. And you see, because it's a false system, because it is not the original, and it is a hybrid or a mix or a man-made something. When you say man-made, we're really talking about Satan-inspired, okay? When it's a man-made system, then when it's like that, then Satan can use it. Satan can use anything that's hybrid. Anything that's perverted, he's got a tag to it. He can use that. And so he rides on that. And so the prophet tells us, and I can show you, but he says, demons travel in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He said, he tells about it. He tells about all these places over in Africa and different things and miraculous things that, of all this stuff in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and it's false. It's of the devil. And the reason why is because that Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism is not Bible. It is something created by the Catholic Church, and therefore devils can ride it. Devils can travel and influence other peoples because it's not truth. See? So if we hang on to traditions and religious systems and whatever that come from Babylon, and we still got a little bit of that in us, then we wonder why Satan can fight us in some ways and we can't seem to get past it. It's because there's a portion of God's word we're not lining up with. Right? That's exactly why. And so, devils travel in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost because it's a Catholic-made doctrine. Why would God allow that? Well, God knows, you know, like Brother Bram said, his mom would say, just give a cow enough rope and hang itself. God knows that if you're not of his offspring, then you're going to go for something else. Because all whose names are not written in that last book of life are going to follow after. Let me say it, break it down this way. All whose names are not written in the last book of life from the foundation of the world, you know, the ones who stay and worship God and him, not the creature. All of those whose names aren't up here, they will worship some portion of the creature or creation. Right? Follow me? Not the creator. They will fall short. And that's how God would put their names there to show that they're his. But they will fall short of that and worship something less, and they will fall for these doctrines and fall for these sensations and fall for these signs and wonders and fall for these, and all myriads, a wide road leading to destruction in the names of thousands of religions. But there's one truth, and God sent a prophet today so we could find that one truth to show it what it is, and we can have clarity to it so we would know these other things. And so he knows that. So don't you see, when it's a man-made something, Satan has an ear tag on it. And God wanted to reveal to us so we would understand that we're not hanging on to something that's got a tag on it for the devil. The scripture says she is the mother of abominations. I mentioned it a while ago. And if you look in the Bible and you read, I'm just going to go through some of them because there's a bunch of it. But if you think about it, and I want you to think about the revelation that God has given us about the word for our day and not hanging on to bygone days and all these pure sacrifice and you know, Christ and him alone and not something else. Think about all those as we go through this, and I'll mention them as we do. But if you look at the abominations of the Bible, well, one of them is that you don't eat a sacrifice that's several days old. The priesthood were told, don't eat it if it's several days old. What? Don't try to eat a message from two or three ages ago. Right. Natural type spiritual. There it is. Right. That's an abomination to God. You understand, it's an abomination to God for people in this day with the word being open to us to try and live by something else prior to this. It's an abomination. Why? Because he's opened up more word and he expects us to come. Because this is what will deliver us. Anything less than that He's got to hate it because it's not being partakers of what he's delivering by.
Right.
It's an abomination. See, we got to understand, brother, sister, we have to come to a place where we understand that if we do not embrace the truth that God's given in our day, we're in trouble. People can twist it around and try and say whatever they want, but it's all through the types and shadows. We cannot hang on to previous, even something that was truth for a previous day when God's given us. If Luther's message will not give us the body change, it's an abomination to hang to that and not come to what will. It is. So, that's one abomination. The other one is to sacrifice a blemished animal. Right? Sacrifice, you're worth come and we're to have a sacrifice to represent us, and you bring a blemished animal. As I've said, why would you bring a blemished animal and expect that to stand in your place? And not be accepted, then you're not accepted. And the scripture said, and we know that Jesus, they said, I find no fault in him. There's no fault in him. And so we all have confidence. Hey, I have no questions about him being my sacrifice. Because there's no blemish in him. Right? But you have people who do bring something else. And it's blemished. And that's an abomination. And what would that be? A people who don't bring the word, but they bring their tradition. Right? It's an abomination to God to do that. Why? Because over here is the life. Over here is what he has sent to take us on. And that's the only thing that will take us on. Not something previous. As we've said, if Pentecost, the outpouring, restoration of gifts would have given a body change, it would have been gone a long time ago. So it is something greater than that. So that's an abomination. Men with men, women with women, we understand that's an abomination because that's not natural. You can't get life from that.
Right.
See, everything God does brings life. You can't get life from that. So to sacrifice or worship other gods, I naturally understand why that would be an abomination. To make your children pass through the fire, sacrifice children to gods, that's an abomination. To have those that are of divination and witches, wizards, or necromancers. It's an abomination for men and women to wear clothing of the opposite sex. It still is. Right? Now think about it. When I say all these things, and you look out there, you're like, the world is eat up with all this stuff. Doing exactly this right here we're talking about. There are abominations. And she's the mother of it.
Right?
Right? She's the mother of those things. And so, It is. No, this would, think about this. To take money that is earned from prostitution and bring it into the house of God. I mean, we're reading that, right? To take money from prostitution and bring that in, or the price of a dog, it talks about a dog, right? To bring that into the house of God is an abomination. God says, I don't want nothing to do with it. God doesn't need filthy lucre. God doesn't need money and resources earned by filthy living or by ungodly atmosphere. He doesn't need that to support his house. Think about it. When Abraham delivered all the people from Sodom, when he went out and got them, and then the Sodom said, you know, he had rights to all the goods that he would have got, and he says, no, I don't want none of it. Lest you say that I've made Abraham rich.
Right.
Can you imagine Abraham and going out, man, look how rich Abraham is. Or, yeah. You know, hey, got it? He got it from the spoils of Sodom, which was all those people lived that way. Abraham says, no, I don't need that. It'll be a mark on his testimony. And here, the scripture tells us that you don't bring profits or resources from an ungodly lifestyle. And we're talking about an entire church system that's a harlot. All their systems and all their ways and all the ways that the world gets riches through the abundance of their delicacies, all of that, and you're going to bring that to God? It's an abomination.
Right?
Everything about God's economy is holiness. Don't even, we go destroy that. Don't touch a thing there. And what did he touch? Babylonian garments and wedges of gold. Yeah? You know why he did that? Because he had a desire for those garments. He had a desire to be able to wear something that looked like Babylon. Oh, I can't give that up. I can't give that up, Babylon. Still drinking from that cup. That's right. You say, Brother Tony, I don't see it that way. Are you a watchman on the tower? Right? But God sends people to tell truth that are watchmen on the tower. And you're going to say, I don't believe that because I don't see it. Well, you're not on the tower. You're not being called to be on the tower. But God has got some men that are called to be on the tower. And you're not going to listen? You see what I mean? Your blood is on your own head if you don't listen to the truth that God sends. Now, if the ones that are on the tower are telling you lies and it don't line up with the word, you have right not to listen to them. But if they do, if they're telling you truth, amen. And so, don't bring no money in from a system like that. Another abomination was one of the examples was like if a man married a woman, he put her away because of whatever reason. She went and married somebody else, and then he decided he didn't want her. And so then for that woman to come back and marry the first man again, that's an abomination. Right? See, there's spiritual indications to all that. There's something about a people who run from church to church to church and then go back to the original church and over here to this church and run. You know what that is? I'll let you fill in the blank. God wants people who are established. Established in his word.
Correct.
Not running from pillar to post and here and there. That's not the way to do it. God is sturdy. He gives you sturdy people, sturdy ministry, sturdy church that people love you, and a core that can keep the thing moving. You see what I mean? Not something all flaky and shaky. Another abomination was unjust weights or false balances in your financial dealings. You know, they weigh money out versus, you know, and so people could sneak up there and put a weight that says it's a pound when it's really not, or something like that. In other words, and so, and she'll pull up Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. Here's a list of seven things that the Lord hates and the abomination. Six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are abomination to him. A proud look. How many people you see like that? These things should not be found inside Christianity, especially not inside Message. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run to mischief, false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Amen. Somebody might say, well, it's only that last one was an abomination. Okay, let's talk about that one. Because the scriptures say how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together with unity. Right? It's like the anointing oil that on Aaron that ran down through his beard. Anointed, now you can go into the presence of God, right? Without it, he couldn't. So, brethren dwelling together in unity is like that anointing oil, right? And so, it says it's like the dew of Hermon, because for there the Lord can command his blessing. And so, then you've got somebody running around, and he's causing discord, and so what you're effectively doing is you're creating a situation where the Holy Spirit has to go out here, fly up here, and because God can't bless discord. So anytime a spirit comes to you or someone comes to you or something begins to cause you and you know that would cause discord, you better take that to God in prayer. Right? See? We're far enough along as Christians that we should know these things. Right? It's when we don't obey them that the bad things happen. And so she's the mother of all these things. And so are her daughters because, of you know, the children are, you know, seed is offspring of the seed. Revelations 21:27 says this. And there shall in no wise enter into that city. We're talking about into anything that defileth neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There you have it again. Only those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, they stay up here with God, they worship God and not something else that's created by man. They're the ones that get to enter into, because if you drop down to here, you're part of the abominations of the earth. You're drinking from that cup. That's why. Yes, it is that strict. And yet it's glorious. It's not to the believer, to a Christian. We love God's word. And so this is why God sent an angel to tell us how all this is intertwined with everyday life and how to get rid of it. I'm glad. You say, Brother Tony, does it matter? Well, it matters enough that God put in his word, and it matters enough that he sent an angel, prophet, messenger to this day at the end time to make it clear. And I ask you, what other ministries out there outside of the message that's hammering this, that's trying to make the people understand what that system is and how it has gotten away from the Word of God? There's not another, right? There's not. That's why Satan lifts up his hands against it. That's why he hates it. So, the effect of Babylon has gone into every facet of life. It's into everything. Because remember what we read a while ago, how that Satan will always corrupt what he can. He'll corrupt everything except anything God just won't let him corrupt. He'll anything that he can, he will corrupt it, right? And so, God had an original worship. God has a way for us to live, a way to do all aspects of life. And so, Satan, the only thing he can do is corrupt it. All the aspects, anything that God would have for us as a way of life, Satan corrupts it. And then that has gone out into all the earth, and it's all embedded into all this modern, throughout history, and definitely in this modern day. And it's hard to get people to see that. It's hard to get people to realize that, hey, things that you do in your life, even though you're going to church, there's things still there that don't line up with the Word. That's right. You know, I pray that the Holy Spirit, I know the Holy Spirit, he has to deal with people's hearts, but I pray that people live in such a way that the Holy Spirit has audience with them, that he can speak to them, because he will speak to them in the presence of the Word when you read it, or when you hear it on tape, or you hear it in here, the Holy Spirit. If you've got that in at least enough audience of the Holy Spirit in your life, that when that Word comes across the pulpit, he'll prick your heart, you'll know, and you'll say, hey, there's that spot that I need to surrender to the Lord. Like Brother Daniel said last night, if you don't do that, then you know you've got condemnation.
Right.
You know that there's something there. And so, Babylon, the effects of Babylon has gone into all parts of her life. It's gone into every part, every aspect of living. And so how many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? It's everywhere. And so, because Babylon and the corruption of Satan has gone into all that out there in the world and every aspect of life that we find ourselves in, born into, because it's all there, then when the angel comes with the voice of God speaking through him, then that angel's voice and what he tells us will touch all aspects of life too. It has to. Because God can't come and say, well, Satan perverted 100% of all the aspects of life, but I'm only going to reveal truth enough for 99% of it. You see what I'm saying? The message holds enough truth for everything. Right?
Right?
Right? Not just some things, but everything. So the angel's voice has to cover all those things too. The angel's voice has to go into every door and doors. Let's say it that way so you understand. Every door and doors, or doors and door. So, it has to be that personal. It has to be that personal, that there's no place inside your home you won't let him go. Because if you don't, what about it? When a man marries his wife, his bride, how personal is that relationship that he gets access to? Is there a limit to that? And yet we want to limit God. No. See, God has sent these things so we can know. So in home, life at home, life at work, and homework, marriage, child raising, school, the clothes you wear, how you handle your finances, holidays you observe, recreations you do, all of that is in the Word of God. Now, he knows that. The Bible addresses all aspects of life. That's why Brother Brandon said, if there's a question, there's a Bible answer. Right? There is a Bible answer. And so, all of those things, the Bible addresses all that. God has done it, and so Satan has perverted all of that. And therefore, the angel voice has to come, and that message has to address all of those things that Satan perverted that's part of God's original order in the first place. Right? All those mystery truths had to be brought back. All those things that had been there. So, the message has to address all of those things. And so, what is strong enough to rid us of the influence of Babylon? There's only one thing strong enough. It's not a bigger church. It's not a different president or whatever. It's the Word of God only. The Word of God open to us in this hour. Modern events made clear for our prophecy. We just have to understand God has come in our day. If we can just get on board with what he has said, he'll take care of all these things. Modern events made clear by prophecy. He said, now, with patience we have waited for this, for the prophecies that promised, and every one of them must be fulfilled in its age. For it foretells us, the author has done this, and we waited to see him do it again. What time is it that we're living in? It's something like a calendar. You look at a calendar to find out what day you're living in, and you look at God's Bible to see the age we're living in. Makes sense, right? And Brother Brent says, we're not living in the Methodist age or the Baptist age. We're living in the Bride age. And he clarifies what he means by that. Bride age. The calling, God calling his people. The calling and bringing back to God through a channel. A channel that he promised to bring it back in. He promised to do it. God has done something in this day to bring his people back to him through a channel that he has provided in this day. It's called the message of the hour. Amen. He's brought enough light to expose the working of Satan, that Satan did all power and signs and lying wonders. Remember 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talked about that? The first third half, the falling away would come first, and the man of sin would be revealed, the son of perdition. And it would be after Satan had come through a bunch of lying signs and wonders, Satan was allowed to create a system like what we're talking about. He's been allowed to do that. And then God would come and reveal that was the man of sin, and that is the son of perdition. That whole system is Judas again. See? But he would let all these years go by where Satan could do all that and get all those lying signs and wonders and all that, and then God would reveal it at the end. And I don't have the perfect quote, but it's in the seals where he's talking about this. And he said, see, wasn't going to be revealed in that time, but over here at the end, when these seals are open, then he would reveal that system was a man of sin, son of perdition. And then God would destroy it with the spirit of his mouth and with the brightness of his coming. Well, brother, sister, the brightness of his word is destroying those things out of our lives so that we don't, Babylon's no longer part of us. I pray that you understand. But it will destroy this world system, and purge it with fire like we talked about last night. Amen. And so, come with enough light to be able to expose it. If you want to find out something really good and you don't see, just get more light, you can see better. And you get my age, you have to do that. So, we want to hear what the angel saith. And what does he say? He says, come out of her, my people. It's not easy to convince people that this stuff has infiltrated their entire life. But, you know, when you set under the presence of the Word, it changes you. It helps you. As I said last night in Bible study, we were talking about that, and you don't graduate 12th grade by skipping 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. You get there by the same analogy, by walking in the light that God shows you. You get there by growing, right? You get there by growing in the things of God and putting those skills under your belt so you can move on. And so, amen. We just want to prosper in these things that God has sent. Amen. How to rid our lives of the influence of Babylon. And the way to do that is to hear what the angel said. Amen. Mm-hmm. So, God bless you. We'll let the musicians come. You know, we are fruit inspectors. With our hearts. We are fruit inspectors, and we all have places we need to grow. We all have places where we could look at someone else and say, well, there's a spot there, they're not, you know, they could do better. They need to shape up in that spot or that part or whatever. You know, we could say those things. But you know what's best? What's best is if in the preaching of God's word, God speaks to the hearts of the people and they themselves receive a revelation of a portion of their life that they need to surrender to Him, something that they've not observed. Maybe they've seen it before in the Word. Maybe they haven't been pricked in their heart about it, but now they are. Or maybe they have and they've just been ignoring it. But either way, what's best? See, the only way that Satan cannot prevail against you is if you have it by revelation. And so my sincere prayer is that God will help you understand how this message has come, that if you'll let it have place in your life, it will get all of Babylon out of you. I don't believe any of us still in Babylon, but maybe some of Babylon's in it still, like it was when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, and they still had a little bit of Egypt in them. And so let's just commit it to Him. Lord Jesus, this morning as we've shared these things that you put on my heart, Lord, I know, like your disciples said, it's a hard saying sometimes, Lord, but it's those times where great pressure is applied that things are molded and made and changed. Lord, we all know that we're not able to change ourselves, and our cry is, Lord, that you would change. And so I pray, Lord, this morning or this afternoon now, as we look upon these things and meditate upon the words that have been spoken, Lord, that we will not resist your hand of mercy to change us. We don't want to remain in something that's not pleasing to you, Lord. We don't want to have any aspect of Babylon hang on us. We don't want any part of a Babylonian garment. And Lord, I just pray that you would reveal to each of your children, Lord, if there's anything in their life, any way that they live, anything they do or observe or think, Lord, that's part of that system, I pray, God, you reveal that to them and take it away from them, Lord. Let them, when they see it, may they say, as Mary, be it unto me, Lord, that they become free, because, Lord, on that day, I want to be there and I want to see them there. And I know you do. You